Thank you for downloading this message from New Horizon AOG Church. We pray that it inspires you to arise and shine.
Good morning. Heidi, hi. Oggy. Oh, we're back. Isn't it great? It's great seeing everyone in church today. How's everyone doing? Good. Well, it's great to see everyone, seeing some familiar faces, seeing some new faces. Amen. We ready for God's word? Great. Well, in 1944, on the 6th of June, 56,000 Allied troops, including 83,000 British troops, stood on the edge of England, getting ready to set sail in Operation Overlord, which we all know from the Second World War. Just imagine what was going through their minds when they was thinking of landing on the beaches and enjoying the horrors that they faced, many of them being under the age of 25. The interesting thing was is that the intelligence of the British Army had done their homework, and they realized that in the beaches of Normandy, the enemy had strategically placed strongholds on the beach. And the strongholds were heavily fortified. The strongholds contained the greatest artillery. The strongholds contained the greatest guns. And if you could control the strongholds, you could control the beach. And the truth was of the story is before those 156,000 brave men started their journey and got in their boats to go to land on the beaches of Normandy, historians tell us that 2 weeks before, a special military unit was sent in secret, flown over enemy lines with no chance of rescue, with a simple mission: create an atmosphere for victory by breaking the strength and control of the stronghold. And thankfully, this special unit was successful in breaking down those strongholds. Their unit later was called, it was given a name, the Parachute Regiment. And it meant that when the 56,000 British troops landed on Normandy, these brave men had created an atmosphere and an environment for victory by gaining control and breaking control of the strongholds. This morning, I want to continue my series on the battle before the rain, based on one, if we've got it on the screen, on 1 Kings chapter 18. And the heart and message of this is for our lives. It's about us when we live with God. Do you know, in our lives, we can create an environment for victory. Yes? When we live with God and we live with kingdom values, I want to really put on your heart this morning, because we're living in a generation where the enemy's being very strategic in taking people out, and we can choose to either create an atmosphere, an environment of defeat around our lives, or we can choose today to create an environment of victory in our lives. And in 1 Kings 18, it's talking about a man, Elijah, who created the atmosphere of victory for a nation. Come on. And we see this. And so, and if we get the next slide on, and we see these few points that we summarized last time, I'm going to be sharing this a lot in the coming weeks, and we get these four key stages in this story. Verse 2 was, now the famine was severe in Samaria. We looked last time that there was a place in Scripture where it had not rained for 3.5 years. And the reason why it not rained for 3.5 years, that is an environment of defeat. We looked last time at the actual physical aspect of the environment mirrored and portrayed people's spiritual hearts. God uses sometimes the physical environment to reflect what's going off in people's hearts. And we get the cause, the reason for the famine. And I'm wise enough to know, hopefully, I don't need to prophesy this over you, but this will be the pattern of some of your lives. The reason why your life stinks, the reason why life's difficult, the reason sometimes, not all the time, but sometimes, is that you have abandoned the Lord's command and have followed the Baals. In other words, Elijah said, if you're not following God, you're not going to create an atmosphere, an environment of success, and it's going to be difficult. And then we get the battle in verse 19. I love Elijah. He's not just a word of talks, because we all know talk is cheap. He's a man of action. Now he summoned all the people from all over Israel to meet on Mount Carmel. And he says, okay, we're going to do a challenge. You can call on your God and do what you want to do. I'm going to call on the God, the big G God, the God of the Bible. And we get that fire came down and fell, and there was a battle, and then there was a result of regaining control. He had to break the control of an apathetic and wicked king, Ahab. He had to break the control of Jezebel over the nation, and he had to break control, and he had to go to battle in high places. Yes? And as soon as he walks on, King Ahab says, what are you doing here, troublemaker? Oh, I'd love it if someone called me that, which they have many times. Yes? Because you bring the presence and power of God. If you get that reaction multiple times, you may be a prophet. Talk to me later. Verse 41. I love this. And Elijah said to Ahab, go eat and drink, for there's a sound of heavy rain. I love it. In other words, go and eat and drink. When it's not rained for 3.5 years and there's severe famine, you don't just eat and drink. You plan every meal. Yes, you're having half a cup of wine. You're having 3 peas instead of 4 peas. It's trying to get peas in your young kids. Yeah? Where, because the atmosphere had changed from defeat into victory, Elijah was saying to Ahab, you're living in a different environment now. Because the rule of God's here. So just go and get a burger. Stop panicking. Yes? Because you're in an environment now of victory. Amen? And the great news is, and hear my heart, whether you feel the worst sinner in this room this morning, I want to say something. God wants it to rain in your life. Amen? You may be sat here and feel you're the worst failure in the history of the world. I want to encourage you, God wants it to rain in your life. Amen? Yeah, God wants it to rain in your life. God wants it to rain over New Horizon Church. God wants it to rain over our nation. God wants to rain over the world. And this is the challenge for the church. The promise is God wants it to rain, but the challenge is for the church is that we can choose in our lives that we are responsible to decide what environment do we make in our lives. For some people, this message and this series is going to be revolutionary. You're going to change the way you live because you're trying to live. And I got a prophetic picture of people arriving on the beaches, maybe new to faith, and you're trying to do Christian life, but you've still not changed your values or the way you live, and you're getting shot down all of the time. Yes? Because there's one thing believing in Jesus, but there's another thing making him the Lord of your life. Yes? Where we move from believer into a follower of God. And so, In a generation where everyone puts the responsibility on everybody else, the Bible's very countercultural. He puts the responsibility on you. Because the first thing I can do as a leader, and I want to train you all as leaders, is I've got to lead myself. And if I don't lead myself, I have no permission to lead anybody else. And so we're going to look. And we looked at cloud spotters, we looked at climate changers and value builders, and how do we as New Horizon Church create an environment of victory for people? When you've walked in here, I hope we've praised God, there's an environment of victory in this place. Did anyone feel it this morning? That doesn't just happen. I'm deliberately coming to create an environment of victory here. And in your life, and we create an environment for victory by the values that we live out in our lives. Biblical values. And for the next year, once a month, I'm going to talk about biblical values. You see, we need to understand that we all carry values and we all live out of values in our lives. And we need to understand the first point, we're going to look at three quick points, is that values are powerful things. Because values, which I'm going to explain, create environments. We can live out of two sets of values. We can live out of carnal values, our sinful self, or we can choose and lean into our kingdom values. And over the pandemic, I don't know about you, but fighting carnality has been a challenge. Yes? They say the biggest battle in the church right now is not getting people back to returning to church, but getting people back to Christian service. In our self-isolation, we've got to be careful. In our self-isolation, we've not all come a little bit selfish. Yes? A commentator said the greatest threat to the church is never persecution from the outside, but carnality and compromise from the inside. The greatest threat to your Christian faith is not opposition and persecution from the outside, but carnality on the inside. You see, our values have the power to tear us down or to build us up. We find in the book of Daniel, King Nebuchadnezzar, historians tell us that King Nebuchadnezzar was probably the most powerful king. Babylonian Empire was one of those powerfulest in history. And the problem was he became powerful and he started to have a carnal value that rose in his heart and he started to live out of a heart full of pride. And one day, the Bible says he was looking, he was seeing his chariots, his palace, his walls, his armies. He looked at all of the different nations that he'd occupied, including God's people, the nation of Israel. And he started to think to himself, look at me. Aren't I brilliant? Aren't I amazing? I don't need to listen to anybody else. I am the man. And his ego started to rise in his heart. You know, I was thinking yesterday, we was watching Ripley Town Football Club with my son, and there was a guy, yap, 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 yap. And I thought, I've been on teams. I was telling Becky, I've been on a team environment since I was 13 years old, and now I'm nearly 42. I've never not been in a team. And I said to Becky, there's always someone on every team, yeah, who thinks they're better than they are. That right? There's always one. They all think the Pelé or Ronaldo in the dressing room. Yeah? Trust me, I've had it a lot in church life. The Ronaldo in the dressing room and they're not, you know. And King Nebuchadnezzar. And what does the Bible say? Yeah? You got to be careful when you're proud because that creates an environment, yeah, for God to deal with you. Proud comes before a fall. And what happens to him? God says, okay then, you're creating an environment of pride. And can I just say for us men, one of the biggest things you have to keep in check is your ego. You know when you get offended, your biggest thing is your ego. How dare you? Who? This is me. Come on, take yourself less seriously. Laugh at yourself. Yes? Come on, some of you need to laugh at yourself. You really do. Do you good. And he'd create this environment of pride. And because he had a heart full of pride, he lost everything. And he was in a field, the most powerful person that's ever lived is eating grass of the field. Yes? Be careful if God gives you a stage, because God will take it away like that. If there's a heart of pride. Not everyone who's given the pulpit stays in the pulpit, because it finds you out. And so, because this, the value of pride, it makes him fall, but then we get a kingdom value. So that's a carnal value, the value of pride, but now we get a kingdom value, the value of humility. Because God's a merciful God. And God has to take King Nebuchadnezzar to such an extent that this is what he says. Then I praised the Most High. I honored and glorified him who lives forever. This is a man who would go into any nation and say, out, you're mine. This is the man who he's talking about. No one messed with King Babylon except God. And he says his dominion is eternal. And it's an eternal dominion. His kingdom endures from generation to generation. All the peoples on earth are regarded as nothing. He does what he pleases with the powers of heaven and the people of the earth. No one can hold his hand back or say to him, what have you done? And all of a sudden, as he prays and as he starts to realize, I'm not going to live out of a value of pride, but I'm now going to start to live out of a value of humility. This is what it says. At the same time, as I'm talking my words, my sanity was restored. My honor and my splendor were returned to me for the glory of my kingdom. My advisors, my nobles sought me out, and I was restored to my throne and became even greater than before. Come on, church. And we can choose. This is just a quick example of how important our values are. The same person in the same situation, he lived out of a value, a carnal value of pride, and it created an environment to make him low. And then he chose to lower himself and said, no, God, no, actually, you're the boss, and you can do what you please. And God said, okay, I'm going to lift you up. Yeah? I'm going to lift you up. I'm going to lift you up. I never fear being put in a low position ever in my life. Ever. Because God knows your address. He knows your mobile phone number. Yes? You see, our values can tear us down or they can build us up. And we're going to continue some kingdom values that will help us to create the right environment in our lives. So we need to acknowledge the power of values. The second quick point is creating a value-driven life. My life today, and I know it's not easy, and please don't think I'm perfect, is driven by values I hold from the Bible. The greatest influence on my life is living out Christian values. And it's hard at times. Yes? Because we have to be careful and acknowledge this, because our lives can be driven by many things. Okay? This is a big one, which can create a bad environment in your life. You can become emotionally driven. Now, this is a whole subject that I could spend hours on. But you see, emotions are good. It's good to cry. It's good. But if we put emotions in the driving seat of our lives, it's going to take us into all bad places. And I don't need to prophesy. I'm living in 2001. A lot of you will be living emotions. Emotions get the better of you. You don't need me to tell you that. You're saying, yeah, that's the story of my life. Yeah? Some of you got some smile face, but I won't say names. Because I'm the same. You see, when you're in pain, yeah, you want to get angry. When someone punches you in the face, you want to go back with a baseball bat. Yes? If someone slaps you in the face, you don't say, oh, please, there you go, have the other cheek, which is a biblical value, by the way. Yes? And sometimes, I'm not saying be a doormat, but sometimes you just have to let things go. And the reason why I let a lot of things go, because God remembers everyone who slapped Pastor Andy in the face. And he especially remembers anyone who slapped me twice. And if you ever slap a man of God in the face, God will remember that forever. Until you repent. Yes? Or you die and you will have to be accountable that before God. I'm saying that about anybody in your life. And so you don't need to all get all et up when someone stabs you in the back. I'm not saying be a doormat, but sometimes you have to leave things with God. The Bible says it's better with God, because if you step in, you at your worst won't even do anything like God would do. Just let God store up his wrath, but also pray for the person. Yes? Emotionally driven. Or fear-driven, anger-driven. There's countless examples that I haven't got time for today of all the people who were in the Bible started to, instead of being kingdom value-driven, started to get emotionally driven. And every time I get angry, I press pause. Yes? Or you get Pastor Lee in the office saying, just be quiet, Andy. Just press pause a bit. And when, you know, if you're in a relationship and someone cheats on you and you're in pain, and excuse me if you don't live in this world, but this is how a lot of the world lives. If someone cheats on you, what do you do? That's it now. If someone slept, she slept with somebody else. I'm going to sleep with loads of people. And that creates more pain. Yes? Come on. And it creates more destruction and more problems. This is why the world can't cope with the issues, because people are being emotionally driven instead of being value driven. I've decided in my life to be value driven. In the hardest, painful seasons, I have got to keep creating an atmosphere of victory and keep leading myself. Yes? In vulnerable seasons, we've just been through an incredible vulnerable season for every Christian. Most Christians, including us as a family, have found it tough. And unfortunately, people, because of the vulnerability, have been led astray, seasoned Christians, and have started to live out of carnal values instead of kingdom values. And we're committed to keep being kingdom value focused to create an environment of victory. I want to encourage you that living with kingdom values will eventually, maybe a journey, will make you emotionally healthy. Christianity is good for your mental health. Yes? Doctors realize that one of the greatest things that doctors are doing right now are sending people to church, even if they're not Christians, because they know it helps them. We can either be historically driven. You might not know this, but when you grow up, your life is on a natural trajectory to follow the path of your parents, which can be a great thing and a very bad thing. The first thing, if you ever go into marriage counselling, when we was trained, have had to talk to people who are having difficult times, the first thing they will ask you is, what was your mum and dad's marriage like? Because you have a natural indication to follow that trajectory in your life. And this may sum up a lot of you, because we can be historically driven. Yes, the older you become, the more you come like your mum and dad. And I'm sorry, teenagers. But there's some things, and I think, oh, I am my dad. Yes, and some of you are laughing because it's true. And what we have to choose is we have to say every day, because some of you, that's a good thing. Some of you, that's a very bad thing. And we have to choose from historically, what values am I going to follow and continue? And what values am I not going to follow? because I've seen that and I don't want that to be me. Yes? You may have said, I've never had a good example, I've always had a bad example. Can I just say, you can learn as much from a bad example from a good example. Because you can say, I never want that to be my son. I never want that to be my daughter. I never want that. And so I'm going to take value out of that. Yes? You can take the positives out of a bad story. Come on. You can be habit driven. Habits are very powerful things. I'll get a wriggle on right now. We are creatures of habit, yes? Yes. Like, when me and Becky first got married, I used to come home and Becky would get in before me and she'd lock the door and she'd keep the key in the door. Yeah? And it's raining and you're trying to get in the door and you're back. What are you doing? And every time I'd get in, I'd be all wet, saying, darling, don't you love me? Just when you get in, just take the key out. Yeah, we lived in Eastwood, so you need your key and your lock and your bolts and everything, yeah? Yeah, yeah. Now we live in Enid, you need a shotgun and all sorts going off in there, yeah? I mean, Eastwood makes Enid look like Beverly Hills. Yeah. First thing, Becky, what are you locking your door for? Yeah? This is true. What are you locking your door for when she moved from a nice area? I says, well, I live in Eastwood. She says, oh, no, you don't need that. Two days, is so funny. I digress. 2 days later, the neighbour knocks on the door. Oh, just be careful with your front door. Someone came in and nicked all my keys and my wallet. I said to Becky, there you go. There you go. Ah, I love Eastwood. It's brilliant growing up. I love Ina as well. I do love it. Oh, where am I? Who knows? And then one day she did it again and I went in and I goes, I was all wet. I was all wet. I was so hungry for my dinner. I said, Becky, don't you love me? All I'm asking, just take the key out. And she says, Andy, I do love you. I'm just in a bad habit. And I realized, listen, habits can even be stronger than love. Yeah? I know love's stronger, but in that instance. And maybe your life's so habit-driven that you've got no good godly habits in your life. Make sure no sinful, ungodly habits is you fall into in your life. Because it can create an atmosphere of destruction, even when you're not knowing. Or we can be kingdom value driven. Yeah. As a senior pastor, you're dealing with situations all of the time. Poof, 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 this. And all the time, how are we going to deal with this? We deal with it kingdom values. We do it right. What would Jesus do? Biblical. Even when you're in pain, and life's tough, and life stinks, we keep going to do it because I want to say it creates an environment. Yeah. If the Caroline can play on the keys I'm coming to now. Is this helping anybody? Yeah. So create a value-driven life. Yeah. Values don't just happen. You don't go, when someone hurts you, oh, yes, I'm going to forgive them. Oh, praise the Lord. Yes. Sometimes you think, oh, I want to kill that person. But you know, come on. My destiny is not in their hands. Yeah? I'm not going to let them live rent-free in my head and rob me of the next 4 years of happiness. Yeah. I may be on the floor today with no money and no prospects. And I may feel like a waste of space. And I could just live a selfish life. But you know, I'm going to keep loving. I will keep trusting. I'll keep forgiving. Keep turning up to cheer and keep praising. Come on. The Bible says, oh, strength is going to come. Come on, Boaz is going to come. Come on! Come on, he's going to come. And I may have walked to church spiritually on my knees, but I know God's not finished with me yet. Come on. Because this is the power of values in our lives. Come on. There's rain going to come. There's rain going to come in our lives. The last point, and then I'm finished. We've got to understand the power of values. We've got to create a value-driven life. Last point, we've got to maintain our values. Maintaining our values. Yes? We have to maintain our kingdom values because we're living in a world of questionable and hypocritical values. Yes? That will try and lead us astray. A vulnerable season, people's already been live astray. And especially if you're under 30, I want to say some values that people live out sound really good, but actually they create destruction in our lives. Social commentator says now we're living in a culture where, with a value where everything is permitted, but nothing is forgiven. And I want to say, as a person and as a pastor, that's okay for people to say that, but we know it doesn't work. Because you can't live in that society without incredible pain where everything's permitted and nothing's forgiven. It doesn't work. We're living in a world with the hypocritical. I'm not being political, but I'm sometimes a little bit controversial. I make no apology for that because Jesus in the Bible was controversial. We live in the world of hypocritical cancel culture. Yeah, that is built on hypocritical values. For example, when someone calls you to be sacked, trash your reputation, dogpiles you online, insults you, libels you, wish you was dead, but that's just their way of helping us come round to their side of history because they state love needs to win. Did you hear that? So in order to get people to love, you've got to endorse hate. See the exchange of values? Doesn't work, does it? There's got to be a better way because love influences, yeah? More. And one thing, they're wanting something, and in the next, they want people to love, and as they want people to love, they're being hateful. What a strange world we live in. A world of hypocritical and questionable values. 2 Timothy, I'm coming to an end there, chapter 3. Read this at my father-in-law's funeral. It says, but when, this is Timothy sharing his heart to his, this is Paul sharing his heart to his spiritual son, Timothy. While evildoers and imposters go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. But as for you, New Horizon Church, and as for me, as the senior pastor, and as for you in your life, but as for you, continue in what you have learnt and what you have been convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise, yes, for salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. And so every day that we live, we have to choose whether we're going to live out of carnal values or we're going to live out of kingdom values. And it's a daily task. This is a daily task. God doesn't zap you. If he does, tell me about it because I want that zapping gun. He doesn't just zap you every day. It's a daily task. And before we do anything, I want to encourage you. This is what I do, and I'm just sharing my heart right now. But before you speak, act, watch, share, tweet, post, whatever your bag is, I want you to do a few things. I always ask myself, number one, is it biblical? Number two, is it like Jesus? Number three, is it in line with sound doctrine? The last 20 years, the battle has been for style and culture in the Pentecostal church. The next 20 years, it's going to be about doctrine. And we are going to be a church, while I have breath in my lungs, what will be built on sound doctrine. Yes? Is it in line with what's been handed down to you by trusted men and women of God? Yes? I'm interested in what some people retweet and tweet. Yeah? What your grandkids retweet and tweet. What posts? And some of it, I want to say, be watchful. Because it's about values. Because we've got to have kingdom values. Because we decide, church, and I'm finishing now, whether we're going to create an environment of defeat in our lives, are we going to create an environment of victory? You see, people who maintain their values, I want to say this, people who maintain their values, they're the parachute regiment of God's army. And I believe, as I want to prophesy, that right now 156,000 teenagers are going to arrive in church in the next few years, yeah? 156,000 pastors are going to arrive. They're getting in boats right now, ready to take the field. And I know, that's why I'm going to do this series, that I'm kind of in between ages, yes? And God wants to help us create environments for victory. Come on, we're going to stand, we're going to pray right now. I'm sorry I've gone over a few minutes. The battle before the rain. Creating strongholds. Creating an environment of victory by breaking strongholds. Strongholds, what areas? What areas of strongholds? What are you doing right now that you need to stop doing? You're living with jealousy, anger, bitterness. You're living out of pain. Come on, you've got to say, I can't do it any longer. You've got to let it go. You've got to forgive. You've got to move on. We're going to be covering all this in the coming weeks. It's tough stuff. What bad habits have you got? What kingdom values do you need to start living? Maybe your ego's out of control right now and you can't be told what to do and you're a nightmare. Yeah, maybe you need to say, do you know what? I need to put God in his rightful place. The way you get on in the work life is very different of how the kingdom of God works. Yes? Yeah. You need to understand that. Principles are transferable, but people, some of you, and I'm coming to a close right now, you've got on with life and you've had to survive and you've had to do it a certain way and you've had to survive and you've had to maybe compromise your values to get into places and all different stuff. But I want to say, no. Start living it God's way. Yeah? It'll bless you more. Yeah? Nebuchadnezzar became very powerful with a prideful heart. But he became even more powerful, the Bible says, when he had kingdom values, when he showed humility. Yeah? I'm believing right now in this place, some historical atmospheres that's been going on from generations to generations are going to start changing. Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We just pray today as your saints have gathered here, each one of them created unique and are special in your sight. I want to thank you for them. They are awesome. And I just pray right now for me and my family and New Horizon Church and everybody, people watching online, that we'll be a people who will put kingdom values in our lives. Lord, we just pray that the atmosphere of victory that will be around us will see incredible things achieved for the kingdom of God that will astound the men. And Lord, we just pray that we'll be kingdom people. And the Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you both now and forevermore. And all God's people said, Amen. Come on, let's give God some praise.
We hope that you've enjoyed this message. For any more information or to download our weekly podcast, please go to www.newhorizonchurch.org.uk.